Welcome to the Property Management Mastermind Show with your host, Brad Larson. Brad owns one of the fastest growing property management companies in San Antonio, Texas. This podcast is for property managers by property managers. You'll hear from industry leading professionals on best practices, new ideas, success stories, and lessons learned. This is your opportunity to learn about the latest industry buzz surrounding property management, as well as tips and strategies to improve your business. Now here's your host, Brad Larson.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Lead Simple and 4.5. They have teamed up to come up with one of the best conferences for anyone in or around the property management industry to attend. It's called the PM Grow Summit. This conference is laser focused on growth strategies and thought leaders from around the country. Now, I personally attended their PM Grow Summit last year and was truly impressed with the format, the venue, the quality speakers, and the level of attendance. And that was just their first year putting it on. This year's PM Grow Summit will be held in San Diego in early 2018, and it's shaping up to look like another fantastic event you will not want to miss. I've already booked my spot for the conference, and I would encourage listeners to do the same. You can learn more by going to pmgrowsummit.com. As an additional incentive, you can enter in the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D, to get a $100 discount when booking your ticket. If you ever need an excuse to go to San Diego and stay at one of the historic downtown hotels, this is your chance. Do not miss this event. Again, go to pmgrowsummit.com and enter in the promo code BRAD for a $100 discount on admission. Hey everyone, before we get started, this is Brad Larson, your host. Just want to give you a quick update of what we're going to be doing here. We're going to be interviewing Tom Sedlak, and he is a longstanding NARPM member, been around for quite a while, is an instructor with NARPM teaching cash flow analysis. I've personally taken that class and thought it was very valuable. But what Tom's going to go through here is pretty neat. It's basically a separate business model that you could consider for your management company, and it's all about HOA management. Now, Tom's going to be giving a speech in Orlando at the NARPM National Convention. So I don't want to steal a lot of his thunder, but this is a great episode where he gives a ton of knowledge to us about managing HOAs. And I ask him some pretty tough questions in there, and he's got really good answers for everything, and it makes a lot of sense. So it's a great listen. And welcome everybody to another episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show. My name is Brad Larson, I'm the host. And today I have a very distinguished guest, Tom Sedlak from 33rd Company in Minnesota and Kansas City. Tom, great to have you on the show. Please give us a couple minutes of your time here and introduce us to yourself.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks so much for inviting me today. Just like about every other property manager, I stumbled into property management from a completely different industry and even lifestyle. I spent most of my misguided youth as a Navy pilot flying off of aircraft carriers at night. And looking back at that, I realized there's a lot more risk there than there is in property management. But nonetheless, my wife and I, after we got married, we started buying rental properties ourselves, started to manage them, and realized that there was a huge and growing market for agency management of single family home rentals. And so that's exactly what we did, is we jumped into that market and grew substantially from there. So it's been a really exciting ride as far as that goes. So we were incorporated in 1993. So we're just coming up on our 25th year. We manage a little bit over 500 single family homes currently. We have about 20 associations that we manage, and that's a recent segment addition to us. And we have over 1,000 HOA doors that we're managing presently. And then we also do residential brokerage. We have an office in the Twin Cities, and then we also have a Kansas City office in Overland Park.
So tell me a little bit about that, because that's fascinating. You have two offices, and are you running the management out of a central location, or is each one kind of running itself independently?
You know, that's a great question. And we started out sort of in the experiential mode, you know, what's working or what will work best. And ultimately, our company itself is sort of in a hybrid departmental model, which actually lends itself to branch management. So we do actually run all of our leasing, our property management out of our Minnesota office. Our boots on deck is actually out in Kansas City. And so we do all of the showings, we do new owner visits, we will do inspections or any sort of boots on deck requirement with our staff in Kansas City. And then we have certain other functions in terms of application screening and whatnot that are, again, centralized between offices. And so we have sort of a blended mix of how we approach the market. I think it works really well because we're essentially taking the best practices from our company and essentially replicating them for our branch office.
One of the things I immediately have a question for you there is your home office is the Twin City one, correct?
Yes.
So how did you break into Kansas City? How'd that happen?
Well, actually, my wife's college roommate lives in Kansas City in Overland Park. And we had been going down to KC for a number of years visiting. And then we realized, you know, this is really a very similar city in terms of the overall economic diversity that was there. It's Midwest ethic. The housing stock, very similar, all of similar construction. And so it really kind of lended itself well to almost duplicating the segments that we were pursuing up here in the Twin Cities. And so our business plan really was to open and optimize a website to essentially create the service on a separate website that was optimized for Kansas City. And we let that grow and seed, and we did our blog postings and our SEO. And the entirety of our business plan was to wait for the phone to ring three times in one day. And once that happened, we knew we had captured the market and had a sufficient marketing exposure in the KC market to actually grow a business. And that's when we started.
So you started it from scratch with nothing there.
Yes. So I know most people typically buy offices and are researching on how do I acquire properties? How do I acquire another management company? There are a lot of complexities to doing that, not the least of which is finding a management company that actually entertains a same or similar segment that has similar contractual leases and management agreements in place that has that same screening level or screening consistency for tenants. And we found that that there were a lot more unknowns than knowns in acquiring a management company. And then the cost of acquiring it, you could essentially create one from scratch and replicate the best practices from your own company and get the perfect match. And obviously there's a growth period attached to it. But like I said, once we had that marketing piece figured out, we grew very quickly.
That's pretty neat. I really like that, especially the growing organic part, because too many times people make the assumption you have to break into a market by acquiring a company of X number of doors, put the X in your head there. Versus just growing it organically from scratch, you're implementing best practices from day one. Did you have kind of a turning point to where that effort, that method in a new city was going to turn you a profit? Like, did you have an ROI timeframe?
Well, we had, we did set that. We knew we needed to have about 40 to 50 doors under management to essentially break even. That's inclusive of the labor expenses for having a staff member in the KC area. We did leverage some vendors and a realtor group to help get us the presence that we needed up front when we didn't quite have all the staffing in all the right areas. Of course, I made a lot of trips down to KC and had some decent barbecue along the way. So there were some fringe benefits there as well.
No, I spent a year in Kansas City when I first left the military. I took a job in KC right out of the Army and spent a year there. So I'm very familiar. So one thing I was going to ask you is, well, let's dive into this. Really where we want to go is we want to talk about your HOA experience, your Homeowners Association management experience, because this is leading up to a talk you're giving at the NARPM National Convention in October. And at that talk, you are going to be going into at length into HOA management. I think that's about an hour long presentation. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half. It's one of the workshops during their breakout.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a great presentation because there's a lot of questions on how to break into the HOA management side. We have some experience with it, but not a lot, not enough to even talk about best practices. But it gives me enough to ask you questions to be dangerous. If you're ready for the lightning round, we can start diving into it. So one of the questions everyone's going to have is, you shop software potentially. Do you use an alternate solution outside of the traditional single family home management software? You can name some of the big three, four, five, or are you going to a specific HOA management software? What did you guys end up deciding in your business?
Well, we looked on both sides of that fence, and there are software packages that NARPM, existing NARPM members are using presently. We've used Property Boss in the past. We use Rent Manager currently. We have used Promise in the past as well. All of those, with of exceptions, have the ability to at least manage and do the financials for our homeowners association. You know, there are some nuances in that management that does require some additional software capability. We also looked on the HOA specific side of the software industry, and there are other products. One is called VMS, and another one is Caliber. Both of those very specific to the HOA industry. And it's interesting that both of these different software segments are now almost uniformly, without exception, trying to cater to the other side of the business. So it's interesting. So I think there may be some sort of consolidation of features and functions that support both industries that all of the larger software program writers are moving to.
Well, that's kind of fascinating, because you're saying a company like AppFolio or Promise or Property Boss or Rent Manager, they're starting to go after the HOA management business?
They're adding features that are HOA friendly. And so Property Boss specifically, Rent Manager has been very actively soliciting information from us on what features are functionally important for HOA management. And the nice thing there is that we can actually customize the portals. So instead of a tenant portal, it becomes a member portal. Instead of an owner portal, it becomes a board or BOD, board of directors portal. And then we can customize and use user-defined fields that very specifically reach out and cater to that segment. On the opposite side, you've got VMS and Caliber that are written specifically for HOA management. However, they're adding segments to their software that allow direct rental management. So it's interesting to see them evolve from the other side coming towards the rental side. So it's pretty interesting. But we've looked at a number of those packages, and I think there's a lot of ability out there, regardless of what package you're using, to throw a little bit of a wider net and cater to that HOA segment.
Now, did you join a trade organization specifically for HOA management?
Well, yes, I did. Their CAI is, I think, the most prolific association. It's a growing association. It's probably where NARPM was about 10 years ago in terms of membership, subscribership, the size of their conventions, and their reach. I think, though, that they're definitely growing very quickly. The interesting twist with CAI is that they also allow board members to be a member of that association, which adds an interesting dynamic to the conventions.
That is, because we did join CAI as well, and I flew out there, I don't know, 2-3 years ago to Vegas and did their conference and their convention. Man, it was ginormous. It was huge.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I was completely blown away how massive it was. And you're talking about a lot of money in there. A lot of banking money goes into the HOA industry.
Yeah, and I think that's something that they're actually a little bit ahead of some of the NARPM affiliates in terms of establishing relationships with banks. I know there are a number of vendors that throw lines out to payment processors like Paylease or whatnot, but with VMS and Caliber, you're actually talking about directly connecting to banks and syncing directly with the bank ledger so that you can update. They have lockbox ability that drops right into the HOA account. They have bill pays set up that link directly with the bank account. And all of that updates and syncs both ways real time with the software. So it's very interesting. A lot of the community banks that support homeowner association management encourage it because in return, they get the reserve and operating account funds from each of the managed HOAs deposited into their accounts. And with our fractional loan system, you know, they get a 10-to-1 bang on deposits that allow them to then lend and make money in that direction. So it's an interesting relationship that's been established. I'm not aware, other than third-party payment processors like Paylease, that any of our software products are actually tying directly to banks, although that's something we're trying to work with with Wells Fargo and Rent Manager.
I think they are a step ahead of the single family home space for now. Hopefully we can catch up because there are a few decent banking organizations coming up. Seacoast was one of them with the single family home space. I want to get them onto the podcast show and interview them about what they can do for us. It's really an interesting deal to see out there. As I mentioned, I did go out to that conference, and I would encourage anyone that is looking into the HOA space to go to the CAI conference there. I don't know if they do it in Vegas every year. I only went to the one, and I was focused on trying to just do one thing, which was pick a software. We ended up picking Caliber, and Caliber has been working fine for us. And we don't manage a lot of HOAs. I don't want to come across as any sort of expert here. But we do have a little bit of taste, and it's almost made me, like I was telling you in the pre-show, made me dangerous. I can ask some questions and sort of know what I'm talking about, but I think you're the expert at managing 1,000-plus HOA doors at this point. So one of the bigger questions I had for you is, who's doing the work in your office? It's one thing to the principal to set it up, but who's actually taking the phone calls and doing the work?
Yeah, and that's an interesting question. You know, we found that HOA management really is substantially different, even though the marketing and some of the synergies in acquiring business are very similar. The actual day-to-day management is very, very different. And so we've put essentially a firewall between our rental side and our HOA side. And so we have a dedicated property manager on the HOA side that has that experience and background. We have a bookkeeper that fully and functionally supports that department. And then we have an assistant manager, again, from the homeowner association management background that supports that role. So those individuals are essentially doing 100% of their day managing HOAs.
What are some of the unique challenges that you're seeing versus single family homes and managing HOA?
I think HOA seems to be on the day-to-day management, more of a project management type of a function. You're certainly doing the accounting and the member dues collection and assessments, and you're providing reserve studies and those sorts of things. So from a budgetary perspective, you're helping guide them and properly forecast their out years so that they are viable in the long term. But then on the day-to-day, you're actually managing mostly operations. You're managing the vendors that are doing the trash collection, that are doing the repairs, the maintenance, the common areas and limited common areas. And you're supporting those maintenance issues as they occur to sustain the community.
Let's talk about something near and dear to my heart, business development. And so one of the, I'm telling you, I think this is where everyone's going to go eventually is it's great to manage, but how do you get to that point? So there's two questions that go along with business development. The first would be the advertising and getting leads, because you can't close business without getting in front of business first. So what's step one? I mean, how are you getting leads, or how are you getting in front of the HOA board members? How are you getting to step one?
Well, part of why we're managing HOAs is because step one was almost a given. It was already in place by and large, just by optimizing our website for property management, Minnesota or Kansas City, or for the other search terms that are common for people looking for property management, you're going to have the same people that are looking for HOA management landing on your page, finding your AdWords or however you're advertising. And so we were already getting leads even before we actively made a decision to pursue HOA and to add it as a segment. And then it was just simply a matter of enhancing it and improving it. And so we customized, we found that there are other sites specifically we could advertise through or on. We could optimize further keywords. And then certainly by adding content, HOA content to our website that is specific for HOA, we extended the long tail search capability of our website. And so we're starting to see that really having an impact now. We've doubled the number of HOAs just really in the last year as a result of all those efforts.
Going in that direction, do you have a long-term goal for how many homes you comfortably want to have under HOA management?
Well, right now we're pursuing a segment where we, you know, our company is always more focused on profitability than doors. And so we're letting it grow, but we're going to be growing it profitably going forward. you know, we really don't have a particular door count that we're looking for. We just want to make sure that we're doing the business right when we bring it on, that we have the capacity to actually serve the customers and put a smile on their faces. And I think that's always, in our view, been the most important thing rather than trying to hit a, you know, a door figure.
Yeah, HOA management has historically been a punching bag. It's a tough management deal. You're dealing with difficult situations and board members that are volunteer in some respect. I'm not going to let you get away from the profit side, so I'm going to circle back to that one. I want to go into the phase two of the business development. One of the challenges I can imagine, and we've seen it, is you get step one, you get a lead, you book an appointment, let's say, and now you go make a presentation to a board member or several board members. Yep. Talk me through some of that process, because I kind of know where the challenges are. I just want to kind of hear what you have to say on that particular phase two of it.
Well, so when we do talk to the boards and we do provide a presentation of our services, I think effectively what we're telling them, and this is very endemic of the industry right now, is there's two lacking features in the industry. And one is advocacy, and the other one is good communication. And I think really, if you take those down to the grassroots level, those are the complaints that you're going to get from most of the volunteer association board members, is that they don't have a property manager that's actually advocating for them. And by that, I mean, you know, searching out different quotes or multiple quotes for an insurance policy, for the master insurance, or getting multiple vendor bids, you know, for a roof project, for providing an integrated solution in terms of the accounting that's tied into their board portals, their member portals. There's a lot of things that can be done to improve the actual net benefit that's going to the individual board. And you have to prove day in and day out that you're actually advocating for them. You're looking out for their best interests and trying to provide them the best path forward. And then the other side of the fence is communication. We require at our company that at the end of every week, we send out a summary of all of the issues that are being worked on, that have either been written down from the fall or the spring walkabout, or they're just open issues or needs. And every week they get a summary on where those needs are, what they are, what the status is, what the game plan is and the path forward and the estimated time for closing the loop. And that email once a week in and of itself essentially blows out of the water any of the services being provided by a lot of the bigger, Fortune 500 management companies that are trying to provide HOA service on a large bureaucratic scale, and they lose out on the advocacy and they lose out on the communication because they're just not involved and they don't have that relationship.
On a high level, we're seeing a massive amount of roll up inside of the HOA industry. Would you agree?
Yes. You see the large companies like First Service, Residential, Associa, and whatnot that are actually buying up local or regional management companies, but effectively what they're doing is they're taking a local presence with a friendly face that the boards are familiar with, and they're turning it into a large corporation where you call and you have to go from one department to another to get an answer. And I think they're really alienating the very clientele that small company was able to garner, and we're finding a lot of opportunity.
I was about to say that creates opportunity for the local, knowledgeable, very respectful group like what you have. I can see how you have an opportunity to go in and get the business. So I do want to talk about that, because in presenting to boards, you know, this has been a historic challenge, I can imagine, for anyone who's pitching for HOA business. You're presenting to three or four volunteer board members for a $400 or $500 a year HOA association. So they don't have a lot of money, and then they're playing with other people's money on a volunteer basis. That's a pretty challenging thing to get somebody to switch from the developer's default HOA management system to you guys. I mean, that's one of the challenges I can envision and seeing. Have you seen a lot of that, and how are you overcoming it?
Oh yeah, we do all the time. And you know, boards have needs. They have a need for information. They have a need for experienced counseling and guidance. They want to have a manager that is going to give them the path that they need to march forward. You know, you're absolutely right. These are volunteers. These are volunteers that are not familiar with the laws. They're not familiar in many cases with their own declarations, bylaws, and rules and regs. And so you have to read and interpret them for them real time in some cases. They're also not familiar in many cases with the needs and wants of their own constituency, their own members. We help them by doing all those things, by also sending out surveys to their members, by bringing in, you know, best practices and experience from a property management perspective, as well as our, you know, long experienced vendor list. And I think all of that is really what helps lift them to that next level.
Are you seeing people being pushed to you, or are you pulling them from their current management company? So let me explain here a little bit better. In what we're seeing is, unless a board member or series of board members is super ticked off at their current HOA, yeah, you could go in there and go half price and they won't switch because they're volunteer board members. Saving the HOA any money doesn't save them any money. So how are you overcoming some of those challenges?
Well, you know, price always, in our view, is secondary. It's secondary in managing rentals. Not only that, it's tax deductible, but there's always that fallacy that if I save $10 by going to some warehouse rental provider, that I'm going to improve my cash flow. And in fact, just the opposite. It ruins the cash flow because the turnover is much, much higher, in some cases twice as high. Have tenants turning over every 1.5 years. There's greater vacancy between tenants. There's less ability to garner rents. It's longer time to rent. And all of that has an absolutely substantial effect on a rental owner's cash flow. Similarly, on the HOA side, you don't want to mess around with a company that doesn't have the experience, that isn't going to do the thing right out of the gate. For instance, when we go out for multiple bids, a lot of times you're going to get, for a roof project, you're going to get different bids with different scopes of work. It's incumbent on that manager to have that experience to know, hey, we need to reconcile these differences. We need to create a new spec sheet, and we need to go back to these vendors and have them all bidding apples to apples. You know, it's only then that you start to see a differentiation when it comes to price. And so that's the value you need to add as a manager. That's called advocating, you know, for your members and using the right resources to get them the right information.
Good communication, advocacy. I'm hearing what you're saying on that. I think that makes a lot of sense. So the other part of that is then you get the business, you get these board members to say, all right, Tom, we want to hire your company. Mm-hmm. Get an agreement signed. And now it's the fun, challenging part of onboarding them. Do you have any talking points, best techniques there?
Oh, absolutely. We use a very detailed multi-page onboarding checklist that goes through every little document that we need or to update, even down to, you know, updating the Secretary of State filing for the nonprofit organization and making sure that the registered agent is updated. So it's a very detailed process. We get the bank statements and we get the accounting records from the old management company, and we open up new accounts. We always close the old accounts and open up brand new ones for fraud protection. We always want to make sure that the bank accounts are properly opened as custodial trust accounts. So really, it's a very detailed onboarding process. And all the while, we're communicating with the board. We're soliciting information from them and the old management company. And I think it's extremely well appreciated by the boards that we're even going so far as updating email accounts and phone numbers from their member list, because it's amazing how outdated some of the accounts are when we get them. It's actually pretty sad.
I can imagine, because that's one of the benefits of HOA management is it can be a set and forget system, because there's no tenant rollover, let's say, and right, you do your board meetings, you know, a year, twice a year, whatever they're set up as. So yeah, here's a question circling back just a hair. Where do you find a checklist and where do you find a draft management agreement? Do you have any resources there for us?
Well, we actually got our start reading Vicki Gaskill's purple book on HOA property management, and I think that really gave us a wonderful start. And then we took elements of that and got sat down with an attorney and actually wrote up our management agreement. And of course, that was very similar to our property management agreement for rentals in terms of the overall basic elements of a contract, you know, your whereas clauses, your severability clauses and all of that, and some of the basic terms and conditions. So it was really easier to start out using that as sort of an initial base, and then we created and customized it for HOA.
Hi, everyone. Just want to take a quick break here and talk about a couple things. First thing I want to touch on is the PM Grow Summit coming up in early 2018. I want to make sure you all take a look at that at the pmgrowsummit.com. And if you do decide to sign up, get a $100 discount using the promo code BRAD. In addition, through our website, you'll be able to find out another good product with Mark Cunningham and the Rent Gray Systems. He's put out some very good forms. So if you're interested in looking at some base forms that you can take in a downloadable Word format and tweak to fit your particular business, that's a great place to start. And Mark's got that package very well. So take a look at that on our site and you can see those two products there and check out the PM Grow Summit. So let's get back to Tom.
So let's go to the bottom line. Let's talk about profit potential for managing HOA boards. A lot of folks are out there saying, if I'm going to go through the headache of doing this in the market I'm in, going through the headache of basically recreating a business model, am I looking at a decent profit margin? I mean, kind of talk us through there.
Well, you know, I think for any company that's going to start out, you know, they're obviously going to be investing some capital and some sweat equity into getting that segment up and running. It's clearly worth it because most of the new construction that's occurring now, in fact, about 80%, according to CAI, are actually being developed as association developments, requiring an association. And so there's a huge potential as we go forward to see only a large continuing increase in potential clients. As far as good reasons for managing and for the profitability, you know, I think the break even is very low because you already essentially have your overhead covered with your property management operations. And so it's a matter of really just covering the additional labor and software and any infrastructure costs that you have. Essentially, you can reuse your existing website, just continue to optimize it for HOA as well, so you can grab the long tail. So the cost is not that expensive. I think the biggest hurdle is going to be experience and jumping in and understanding. And that's what the workshop essentially is for, is to give people sort of that 30,000 foot view of, you know, what is it like and what's the day-to-day life of an HOA manager and how can I create a similar service. From a profit perspective, I think what we found is that the scope, you know, obviously it's dependent on the scope that you have, your management fees essentially are going to cover the root cost. You know, it's like any other business. You know, your basic monthly fees are going to cover, you know, your base costs, and then your profit or your net revenue is going to be from some of the ancillary things that you can offer. And that could be anything from resale certificates to maintenance coordination fees, you know, box storage fees. You know, it's very typically referred to as Appendix A fees, which are really everything from mailing to additional, you know, management visits for board support. So there's a lot of income streams within HOA that can really bump that profit margin up. And I think it's, you know, as someone gets into it, it's just a matter of time before they figure out that, you know, the experience they're bringing to bear, you know, makes those fees well worth their while, both for the manager and for the recipient of management, because they're getting that good service.
On the pricing structure, are you a fan of flat fee pricing or percentage-based?
We do, typically it's priced it can be on either one, but typically it's going to be offered as a fixed price based on the number of doors and, of course, the services that are being asked for. So it ends up being a very customized service. Because all HOAs are completely different. They're different sizes, different amenities, different common elements, different limited common elements. So you have to kind of decide for yourself what fits in your segment and what the net cost is of managing that overall service, and then customize it for that individual HOA. So it does you know, it does become a more of a custom effort in terms of pricing.
I want to hear a story where you walked in and won the business. And then I want to hear, you know, how bad it was and then how good you guys made it afterwards. You got any stories like that?
Well, I tell you, the very first HOA we got into, we picked up the boxes from the Department of Commerce, the Minnesota Department of Commerce. So the prior agent was being investigated for fraud and embezzlement. And the board was literally didn't know what to do, didn't know who to turn to. And so they were fortunately in Woodbury, in the city where our main office is located. And we were just starting to consider taking on, you know, an HOA to start with. And they were a disaster. Financially, they were underwater. Their maintenance was deferred. They had member issues. They had delinquency issues. It was your basic nightmare. And our decision was, well, do we want to start with an easy one or do we want to start with a hard one? And we decided, what the heck, let's just start slow with the hard one here and cut our teeth and learn. So the first call I made was actually to the Department of Commerce, and I talked to the investigator and got information on where they were, what their needs were, what their delinquencies were in terms of their budget and their reserve studies and all that sort of stuff. And then we rolled up our sleeves and we hit the ground running. And we still have that same HOA under management. We've completely turned them around. Their 30-year reserve study is rock solid. We helped them knock down their delinquency percentage from about, I think it was about 40%, down to about, you know, about 1%. They've got one member, I think, now that has a persistent delinquency. And we took care of their maintenance. We rebid their insurance. We got better costs for their trash. They were actually burned by an asphalt company that did their parking lot. They only put down about 2 inches. They were supposed to put down 3 inches of asphalt. So we followed up with that. So there was just a lot of work for us to get them turned around. But I think at the end of the day, not only did they appreciate it, but we learned from it. And I think our state regulators never heard back from them, but I can only guess that they're pleased that they haven't heard this issue come back to haunt them.
That's good to hear. So one of the things I have a question for is that, so you have about 1,000 homes under management for HOA. How many accounts is that? Is that 10, 15, 5?
That's about 20. I think our average size is right around 50. We're trying to grow that average size. But again, we're just looking at each HOA case by case and determining if we can, you know, provide a valuable service, you know, that also, you know, gives us a reasonable profit as well. And so we're looking for good fits. And so it's a little different than, you know, bringing on property owners. You're bringing on a board and you're bringing on a property that has lots and lots and lots of existing issues and unique characteristics. And so you have to find a good fit.
One of your marketing angles clearly has to be that you are locally owned and operated, because you're seeing this roll-up effort and you're seeing these corporate offices in New York or, you know, someplace awful like that. So clearly those board members don't dig that type of stuff, especially here in Texas. They don't like that out of state, out of market management. Are you seeing a lot of that there?
Yeah, we do. In fact, at a recent marketing meeting, the first question they asked is, now, are we going to have to send our member dues to a lockbox in Las Vegas? And that was kind of an interesting comment, but it rings true that they want that local touch. They want someone that's nearby. They want someone that actually visits their properties more than once or even once. Some of them don't even do that. And they want someone that's going to be proactive. And again, like I say, advocate and communicate well. And I think that there's that market is wide open in those respects.
Well, that's going to be a great discussion you're putting on in Orlando. I'm hoping to be there. We are doing the Disney thing all the while with the kiddos. I got 2 kids, 9 and 8. So I'll be looking for a lot of beer to get me through the Disney adventure. The other thing I want to talk about with you is, you know, I mentioned to you, I took the cash flow analysis class in the Broker Owner Conference last year in Vegas. Or actually, was it this year? It's all a blur. But it was just recent. And I loved that class. I got a ton out of it. And we're working here, and this is going to be a poignant question. So one, I'm telling everybody to take the cash flow analysis class that you put on. I thought that was a tremendous course. You learned a lot about numbers. I actually sent several of my buyer's agents to take this course when it was offered here in San Antonio. That's where I'm going with this question is what's the best techniques you found to help agents learn about cash flow analysis? Because I can't send them to Minnesota to sit at your desk. But do you have any ideas on kind of best practices for go to a course, attend an online seminar, YouTube videos, all of the above? Any recommendations?
Yeah, I think taking that the NARPM cash flow course, I think is going to be wonderful because it is very specifically geared for single family home, cash flow analysis. While the commercial side, you use cap rates and you use vacancy and you use the cash drivers there for valuation, on the single family home side, you're really comparing, net operating income and return on investment or return on invested capital. And so I think there's there are different ways to slice it, but very specifically on the single family home side, that cash analysis is really dependent on comparables in terms of valuation, but on your cash and return on invested cash, it's really dependent on the specific factors that are unique to single family homes. So it's an interesting class that hopefully opens the door to that and gives people visibility into a technique for modeling that cash flow and for determining the net returns for single family homes. I like to start the class out without using a financial calculator, without using a spreadsheet, and to go through the basic, core structure of what a cash flow is going to look like. And also includes the tax benefits, the deductibility of depreciation and all of those things that really helps at least get that 30,000 foot view solidified, so that when we do get down into the weeds and into the minutiae, they don't lose that focus.
What techniques are you using to illustrate a cash flow analysis for a single family home? Meaning, do you like the bigger pockets calculators, or do you have a software you like? Kind of how are you showing an investor, this is the breakdown of the numbers on this format compared to this format or this home? I mean, how are you illustrating that in hard copy to your investors?
Yeah. So, I mean, we always look at the cash flow of a single family home as a long-term endeavor. So we never take and put into that formula the sale of a property. And I know a lot of cash flow analysis spreadsheets and software make that assumption that you're going to have a holding period that's defined as maybe 7 years or whatever, then you sell it, and then you're deducting your commissions and you're looking at the net turnover or the net cash flow on that investment. We prefer to look at it as a long-term, hey, we're never actually going to sell this property. It's going to be retained as an investment property forever. In fact, it's going to go into the estate of the owner when they pass on, and it's going to be handed off to their kids and then continue as a rental property. So that's how we value rentals, is we value them as a forever investment. Clearly, there is no better investment in the world than real estate, because not only do you have appreciation while you're depreciating it on your taxes, but you also have equity buildup as that mortgage gets paid down, and you have rents that go up because they're going up with the appreciating assets as well. And so when you take all that into the mix, you're not going to be able to match the return of real estate in any other investment vehicle, in our view, and it's just a wonderful place to be.
Any recommendations on the best way to illustrate that to a potential buyer investor?
Well, sometimes you just have to sit down and you just have to communicate. I have a video on our website that's only about 18 minutes long, and it's called The Tax Benefits of Investment Real Estate. And I think in 18 short minutes, you can clearly map out that 30,000 foot view for even the newest and inexperienced investor, the one that's just getting their first property online. And it's nice because once they see that and it solidifies in their mind what the reality of investing in real estate really is and what the component parts are, then they're able to extrapolate that into other investments. They can use that to help qualify future purchases, and they've got their foot in the door and they're off and running in the right direction. And I think that's the most gratifying thing for me, is to see that light bulb click on for them and to have them recognize, exactly what it is they're doing. I even tell the students that when I started buying investment properties, I used a very rudimentary spreadsheet, had very basic numbers in it, and came up with a rate of return. Some of the assumptions I made probably may not have been back then, this is 20 years ago, may not have been the best way to define the cash flow, but it was a consistent way. And I never changed it. And the interesting thing is that I've always used the same ruler to measure investments, even though that ruler might be in centimeters or inches or whatever it is, it doesn't matter. But I've used that same ruler or yardstick to measure each of the purchases that we've made over the years. And they've always been looked at in the same, with the same eyeglasses as that very first investment, which we knew was very, very successful. And I think that is, it also helped us understand in 2005, 2006, that the market was becoming way overvalued because we were using that same measuring stick. And we actually stopped buying homes for a number of years well before the crash. And the reason was because, again, we were comparing apples to apples and using that same measuring stick.
I think a lot of us are waiting for the next market turn. Would you agree?
Well, I think actually housing may well be the fundamental support for the economy, because there were not a lot of hammers swinging between 2008 and about 2012, and the percentage of home ownership has dropped substantially. Every percent of home ownership that drops is a million homes that are being converted into rentals, and the fact that there isn't new construction coming online that's cost effective, I think there's going to be a persistent shortage of supply for homes going forward. And so even in a recession, you know, my personal prediction is that the housing market will be largely spared from any substantial setback because of the lack of building over the last 10 years.
Wow. That's some deep assessment. I love it. Well done, because that's in between the lines ballgame right there. I'm impressed you came up with that. Let's hope it's the truth, but either way, property managers are pretty much recession proof. Would you agree?
I would agree. I think this is a wonderful industry to be in, and not just to be a manager in, but to be an owner and an investor. And I always encourage other NARPA members to effectively eliminate the middleman and start buying your own properties and creating your own legacy.
Totally agreed on that one. So let's switch gears just one last time. We only got a few minutes left. What's the coolest thing you've implemented in the last 6 to 12 months?
We've used a software product called Lead Simple that has very effectively helped us to manage from a CRM perspective, new leads. And we actually have written custom scripts for both the rental side and the HOA side. And so we're using it on both sides of the fence there and using it effectively. And I think it's a wonderful product. You know, years and years ago, we looked at other CRM tools like Goldmine or whatnot. Horrifically expensive, horrifically complicated, laden with features. Talk about bloatware. But the spool up time was just very substantial. With Lead Simple, it is literally that. It's a very simple and elegant way to efficiently track your leads and to implement the communications necessary to convert.
I totally agree with you. We have implemented Lead Simple over a year ago, and I really am impressed with what they're doing now with text messaging capabilities. Mm-hmm. Which has been really fantastic when you're talking about getting in front of a new prospective lead, because in some markets, especially potentially here, the first one who gets to that person wins. And so you want to be Johnny on the spot to make sure you're able to touch base with them. That's been a tremendous thing for us. And, you know, it's one of those things you look back and kick yourself and say, man, they've been around for a while. I'm just now implementing it, you know, in the last year. Kind of frustrating almost.
Change is constant.
Exactly. I really appreciate you coming on the show. This has been a tremendous episode. I got a lot of content out of this. You should see my notes. I know we're just on audio, but I've got, you know, a full page of scribbles of everything we've been chatting on. You just had a lot of good information. So this is leading up to the NARPM presentation, October of 2017 in Orlando. You're speaking at the national conference. And so I don't want to necessarily force you to give your information out, but if anybody just want to check you out on the website, how would they check you out?
They can look at our 33rd Company website. There's a lot of information. We do a lot of blogs and podcasts on a variety of topics, including HOA, and they're certainly welcome to look at those for informational purposes. I think if there's any interest at all in starting an HOA management segment, they should absolutely consider coming to this workshop at the NARPM convention. I think it's just going to be really full of information And more than just the nuts and bolts of managing, I'm hoping to impart where the industry is, you know, the consolidation phase it's in, how to be competitive, where the industry is, because it helps to know where the industry cycle is to get your foot in the door and to move in the right direction with the industry and to be competitive. So I think there's going to be a lot of benefit.
Great stuff. I plan on being there with my mouse ears on, straight from Disney. So look forward to that. This has been a great episode, Tom. I really appreciate it. I want to give a special shout out to your handler, Miss Lynn. Tell her thank you for allowing you to come on the show with us.
Yeah, she'll be in Orlando as well. Yeah,
exactly. So I'll give her a big hug there. All right. Thanks again, Tom. Appreciate it. And we'll take care.
All right. You take care. Thanks so much, Brad.
This episode of the Property Management Mastermind Show is sponsored by Mark Cunningham of Grace Property Management. Now, Mark has created some amazing products for property management companies. We have implemented his systems and his business income streams into our business here, and I can personally recommend them. If you are in the property management business, I encourage you to visit their website, as you will definitely find a product that will improve your business. I know Mark personally, and just a small investment to pick up one of his golden nuggets could earn you a return many times over. To learn more, go to propertymanagementsystem.org, again, propertymanagementsystem.org, and to get a 10% discount on all of Mark's products, use the promo code BRAD, B-R-A-D. Today's show has been sponsored by Virtually Incredible, providing tenant screening services, call center services, and video production services to property managers. You may also visit them at virtuallyincredible.com.
This has been a podcast episode by PropertyManagementProductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us feedback, and come back for our next episode.